We're starting a new series this Sunday, and it's going to be going throughout the summertime. It's Why Me, Why Them? It's the book of Jonah. I'm so excited to get into the book of Jonah and the message that's there. You know, most of us, when we hear Jonah, the first thing that comes to mind is a big fish, right? That's the story of Jonah that everybody registers with folks, is that Jonah got swallowed up by a big fish and then spit out on the beach. And the message we learn about that is, don't disobey God or you're going to get swallowed by a fish or something like it. I don't know exactly the message, but that's the part that really stands out. And so we think about the large fish, and the main message could be missed if we don't put it in the context of the whole story. In fact, when we're looking at Scripture, we tend to look at it and we say, what's my role in this? What is it that I'm supposed to learn out of this? And so we put ourselves in the main character that we see as the person. So in this story, it's Jonah, right? We say, what do I learn from Jonah? Let me put myself in Jonah's shoes. And that's sometimes how we look at stories, even in Scripture, is we say, okay, who's the main character? Where do I put myself? But you know, the main thing we need to do, what we always need to keep in mind when we're looking at Scripture, is the person isn't the main character. God is the main character. So the story isn't about the person as much as it is God. And so what can we learn about God in the story of Jonah, in the book of Jonah? What can we learn about what God is doing and how he works? It would be kind of like if you were watching a movie and you know who the lead actor or actress is, and you're there and you're an hour into the story and you just say, I just can't figure out this movie until it gets to the scene where cast member number 17 appears. I don't know what's going on until cast member 17 shows up at the cash register and does his part. Then the whole story will make sense. It'll just come into context. That'd be ridiculous, right? I mean, just like, that's a minor part. And I don't mean to diminish our part in God's story at all, but really you and I are cast member number 17. And we're just at the cash register for a little glimpse of it, a little part of it. And we do have a role. We fill part of God's story. But God's story is so much bigger than just the one. And so if we look at the book of Jonah and we say, well, it's all about Jonah. No. It's all about God. It's all about God and what he wants to accomplish through Jonah. So we get the storyline, we understand the storyline by the lead characters. And in the book of Jonah, we get the main storyline by seeing what God is doing and what God is saying throughout it. So let's pray and we'll read this morning. We're getting two verses under our belt. That's as far as we're getting. But they're a good two verses. We'll make the most of our time together. Father, thank you for your word. We take a moment to breathe in and breathe out. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to fill us. We invite you to speak to us. If we're a devoted follower of you, Jesus, we know we have your Holy Spirit in us, and so we just push back anything that's encroaching upon us and encroaching upon our thoughts, and we just make space for you to speak and to work freely in our lives. Lord, if we have not yet made a commitment to you, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do your work, to instruct or to illuminate the Scriptures in ways that we've never seen them before. We thank you for your work, and we make space for you, Holy Spirit, to work in our midst now. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. That's how it starts. Simple two verses. Instructions from God given to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. These two verses begin a conflict. Every great story has a conflict, right? That's what creates the tension in the story. And we get right into the conflict right at the very beginning. We may not see it, but it's there. It's flashing lights. It's horns going off. It's sirens especially to Jonah. But if you look at it and we read that, this is the conflict. Jonah the prophet, the calling, It's the gifting, and he's used it before. And so God is calling on him as his prophet to deliver a message. A little bit of background understanding maybe will help us to see why Jonah at this very moment is in conflict with when God speaks to him. Jonah ministered between 800 BC and 750 BC by prophesying to the nation of Israel. Prior to what's recorded in the book of Jonah, he prophesied about the restoration of the northern lands to Israel, which had been under control by Damascus prior to that. And so there's kind of this restoration. Jonah prophesied, and kind of around that time, that restoration of those lands came back to Israel. There was others who were prophesying similarly. So it was recovered under King Jeroboam. And it was at this point, Israel was feeling pretty good about itself. Like if you can imagine a portion of their lands, their promised land, had been under somebody else's control, the prophecies that are being spoken, of which part of that Jonah was included, that land is restored. It's kind of this moment of, hey, things are happening. Things are on our favor. We've got more of our land back. And so they're feeling pretty good about things. And so there's a special blessing by God, a nation that's being restored, just kind of this air about the nation, this feeling maybe about the nation that God is moving. But they also had this other element to them, which was kind of this desire, really more than the delight of the Lord, it's this stink eye to the nations around them. It's this look of disdain, this no longer this idea that we are a nation that is blessed to be a blessing. We are a nation that is blessed, and you're all supposed to be cursed. So this feeling within the nation of God is on our side, and this longing within the nation for the day of the Lord, the day in their mind, this day of vengeance, the day of the Lord where God will judge everybody else, and Israel can be lifted up as this nation unique, unlike any other. So in their thinking, they're seeing God through the lens of how they can become a great nation. God's on their side. He's going to continue to move and push back against these other nations. He's going to destroy other nations. And instead of becoming great by extending the blessing of God's kingdom, they're going to become great because God will destroy the other nations and will lift them up. So it's in this context for which Jonah is personally invested. He was there as a prophet declaiming God's promises. And then without warning, at least from this passage, Jonah gets a word from the Lord. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. That's kind of a 180. That's no longer just talking to your people. He's saying, go to this great city, the largest city in the area at that time, known city at that time, and preach against it because its wickedness has come up. You and I might say, hey, seems great for Jonah. He gets to rail against these people, right? God tells him, preach against it because of its wickedness. I mean, it would seem like Jonah would go, all right, hellfire and brimstone, right? Isn't that a prophet's desire? You know, I get to just lay into them everything that's wrong with their city, everything that they're doing is wrong, and they're against God, and so this has got to be a good thing. They're corrupt, they're violent, they're wicked. That just seems like something Jonah might just take delight in. But Jonah understands something about his role. He's not the lead character, God is. Jonah understands something that maybe is missed if we're looking at Jonah as the lead character. Jonah understands that he's not the lead character, God is. Jonah understands that he's cast member 17 and the story all revolves around God. And as the story unfolds, and we'll see later on as it unfolds, Jonah understands he's a merciful God. He's willing to forgive. He's long-suffering with people. He's compassionate towards people. And so this conflict is coming up. There's the rub for Jonah. God sends prophets not for the purpose of just complaining and railing against the culture, but for the purpose of change. When God sends a prophet, he That prophet inherently understands that I've got a message, but it's not my message, it's God's message. And God has a message not to just complain about all the stuff that's going on around him, but because God has a heart for the people, and it's either to course correct so they can repent or to warn them that if they don't repent, there's judgment coming. The prophet understands this. God is going to do one of two things: judge the city and bring it to destruction, or they're going to turn from their wickedness, cry out to God, and he'll show them mercy. Two verses, that's all it took. And the conflict is there in the story. Two verses, and we see Jonah squirming in his seat. This is my role. I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to deliver God's message. It's great when that message is blessing upon the people I love, and that God's going to restore us and make us great, and he's going to call down fire on everybody else. But within two verses, Jonah gets this message that he wants me to prophesy about something else. He wants me to go to a wicked people that I hate, and people who are doing terrible things, violent and despicable things, and he wants me to prophesy against them. And that means one of two things. Either they're going to get a warning before judgment comes, or two, they're going to get restored, and they're going to get healed, and they're going to repent, and God's going to relent and show them compassion and mercy. Jonah, can you feel it? Can you feel him just squirming in his seat? Because what he wants in the era of the time he's prophesying, what he wants is for Israel to be lifted up and everybody else to be judged. What he wants is not mercy, he wants judgment. The main question that he knows already, the main question he has to answer is he going to do it or not? He knows the main character, God, is going to get the message through. Whether he uses Jonah or not, he's used donkeys in the past if he had to. So he's going to get his message across whatever way he has to. He knows God is able and willing and will accomplish his purposes. So Jonah's question is no longer, is Nineveh going to get preached to? Am I going to be the one to do it? Am I going to be the one to follow through? Well, we'll get into that in a little bit later as we work our way down the storyline. Many of you already, if you've read through the book of Jonah, you know kind of how it comes together. And I'm looking forward to kind of going deeper into that. But I want to fast forward this morning to make a connection to something that God is doing in our time. And I mentioned it earlier in the service. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 2. And I want us to see a connection, a similar tie-in to this prophetic message that was given to Jonah, and how we have been recipients of a prophetic message as well. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. I don't have it on the screen, so please just either follow along if you have a Bible with you, or just listen along. Jesus has already ascended. The disciples, he gave the instructions to the disciples. He said, now wait, don't start doing a bunch of activities. Don't start preaching, don't start healing sick or doing things like we did when I was with you. Jesus says, wait. Look to me. Have your attention turned towards me, and then wait for the gift of the Father. And you'll know when he comes, basically. You'll know when that happens. And so we turn from Acts, and then Jesus ascended. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples are there, they're gathered together, and then they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. This one I always get. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. That's a lot of tongues I just went through right there. They're saying we're hearing all of it in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." I love that the scriptures include this part, right? It's like you could have made it just this holy text. And this is one of the beautiful things about scripture. If you're not amazed by it, you need to relook at some of the passages. Is there so many little quirky marks and highlights of character flaws of its leaders and blemishes of the way that the story unfolds. And even the resurrection, you go, it's the women who discovered the empty tomb, right? That doesn't fit the narrative of male-dominated society and male culture. So there's so many things that I love that just validates to me every time I read something that the scriptures are God's word. They are the way that God wants us to understand him. He wants us to understand how he works and understand one another as well. So that last part, verse 13, some, however, made fun of him and said, "They have had too much wine." You and I need to hear that. If you are going to be filled, if we're going to be filled of the Holy Spirit and do the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, there are times where people are going to look at you and go, "I think you're drunk. I think you've had a little too much to drink." You say you're listening to God. You say you're full of the Spirit, that you speaking in tongues, are you prophesying, are you praying for healing? You think you're on relationship with God. I think you're a little punchy. I think you're a little too much. You know, in our culture, they may say, "I think you've, you know, too many hits on the bong or something." Who knows? You know, that's kind of where it fits in our own culture. And so they're just kind of like, they're not believing it. You and I need to see verses like this, because the tendency is to say, "Well, I want to fit my culture. I don't want to be viewed as a weird religious fanatic." Can I tell you, I want to apologize, but I don't want to apologize. You will be. When you tell somebody, "I'm listening to God," they may not say it out loud, but in their mind, they're thinking, "You're a little bit of a religious nut job, aren't you? You're a little bit out there somewhere. You're waiting on God. Oh, okay. You know, God's going to tell you what to do next, right?" Right? They're going to think you're a little bit wacko. Well, I don't do that because I just feel like God has a different direction. Oh, you're better than everybody else, right? Because you follow God, right? If you're looking for a relationship with Jesus to help you fit in with everybody around you, you picked the wrong faith. Jesus Christ will make you a stumbling block to the world around you. That's exactly what he was described as himself. He was a stumbling block. To those who wanted to continue in their own lifestyle and disregard God, he was a stumbling block. He made them deal with their relationship with the Father. For those who were overtly and pretentiously religious and thought they were better than everybody else because they had their life all together, he was a stumbling block because he humbled them and caused them to see, if you have any sin in your life, you have too much sin in your life, and you're just like everybody else in need of a Savior. And that caused the religious elite to stumble. So if you are full of the Holy Spirit and you are full of the life of Jesus, this verse is for you. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Can I encourage you, followers of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, embrace that this morning? Embrace your difference than the culture around you. Embrace the difference that the Holy Spirit makes within you and not worry about whether how well you fit in. Now hear this, please. Don't be obnoxious. don't be difficult for the sake of being difficult. Don't just rub people the wrong way and just say, "Well, that's just because I can." Right? We're called to be a people who are full of grace, full of compassion, full of the grace of God, the love of God, and yet full of the Holy Spirit, obeying him in ways that others may see as awkward or unreal or unnatural, and that's okay. Embrace both of those tensions that I want to be a great neighbor, loving those around me, and I want to be the one whom people go, I think they're probably drunk because I don't understand what's going on in their life. And being willing to embrace those tensions in your life. So here's the tie-in. God gave Jonah a word to speak to the people of his day. And in fact, God gave Jonah a word to speak not only to his own people, but to the largest city of the time. It was steeped in violence, steeped in wickedness. That prophetic voice is one that God has set upon his people today. When we look at Acts chapter 2, what we see is Christians who are gathered together, who are waiting upon the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden have a voice where they are proclaiming the works of God to the people around them and drawing people into the presence of God through this prophetic voice of speaking and instructing about what God is doing in that moment. There are people who are uniquely gifted as prophets. So Scripture says, we look in New Testament, there are unique gifts, giftings of the Holy Spirit. So there are some who are gifted with the prophetic gifting. And so they would be ones who we'd say, that person is a prophet. That's true today too, even not just Old Testament. We don't look back and just say, well, there's just Old Testament prophets. There's actually New Testament and modern day prophets, people who receive the word of the Lord in unique ways than others. They hear things, they see things in unique ways, just as they come right from God, and then they're able to speak them out. And they're a foretelling or an unveiling of God's purposes or plans. You think about Jonah. Why did God send him there? I want you to tell them what I'm about to do, right? It's a foretelling of God's plans. And so that led them to have an action. When he spoke prophetically to Israel, he was saying, I'm telling you what God wants to do. Now, sometimes those prophecies are conditional. Sometimes it's saying, God's going to do this. There's no way around it. This is just what's going to happen. Other times, they're revealing in terms of a response that we can have by hearing what God is going to do. God will say, listen, I'm going to accomplish this if you, right? There's a condition in there. Or I'm going to bring about judgment unless you repent. So that's where that comma, that response that we have to that word can change the outcome of what might otherwise happen. God still has prophets today who are speaking, uniquely gifted, who consistently can speak an unveiling or a seeing in terms of what God is wanting to do. But his people, followers of Jesus, are a prophetic people as well. A couple reasons for this. We have the Word of God. And so we're able to tell others what it is that God has been at work at doing, based on Scripture, what he's doing now as it unfolds. And we even have prophecies written in Scripture that we can say, this is what's going to happen. How many of you, followers of Jesus, you know what happens at the end of the story? Right? It's written out. There's no mystery to us. Jesus is coming back. We're all ascending to be with him. And we will worship him for eternity. He will overcome the wicked one. He'll overcome Satan. And he will establish his dominion over it all. Jesus will establish his rule and reign over it all. That's good news, right? That's the good news. So you know the story. You, by knowing the story, are a prophetic speaker. You can speak into the life of the world around you and say, yeah, but that's not the end of that story. Because I know what the end of that story is. Because I know what happens when Jesus returns. So by nature of having the gospel, having Scripture, we are, as followers of Christ, a prophetic people. And then also because the Holy Spirit is within us. It says in this passage that we read, part of the promise was that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. So that's not specifically the prophecy that we read, but out of Joel, he speaks to this issue that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, men and women, young and old. It's going to come to all. And so we have the Holy Spirit within us, and an indicator of God's prophetic word is someone who's full of the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, it would say, would come upon the prophet and they would speak the word of God. It was very episodic. It was a moment the Holy Spirit would come upon him. What an amazing thing that you and I, because of what Jesus Christ has done, of making us acceptable vessels by cleansing us and making us righteous in his presence, then he sends the Holy Spirit to us and fills us up with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit isn't coming and going, coming and going, coming. The Holy Spirit is resident in the follower of Jesus Christ. So that you and I can discern the will of God, we can discern the voice of God, and we can speak to our life and the circumstances around it, not out of our own just experience or out of the culture around us, but we can speak to it out of the Scriptures and out of the Holy Spirit's work within us. How incredibly powerful that is. Sometimes if you follow Jesus for a while, you don't even realize how powerful that is because you live with it all the time. But when you talk to somebody who doesn't have any peace in their life, they have no sense of direction. I don't know what my life is about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel lost all the time. I can't find hope. I can't find peace. I can't. And they just have this sense of lostness about their life. And sometimes if you follow Jesus for any length of time, you go, boy, Andy, it just seems like you described my life. Like, I don't know what I'm doing a lot of times. But listen, not to the same extent that it, without the Holy Spirit. There are times where, yes, as followers of Christ, we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the next decision? What's the next choice I need to make? But here's where you get to speak prophetically into your own life, is that you have the Holy Spirit deposited in you. So that it's not just kind of this, oh, I don't know. I have no way of knowing. You have this ability to come before the Father and just say, God, I trust you. You're the main character. And I'm just playing role number 15 of the guy or gal at the cashier. And I know you're going to direct my steps. You're going to put me in the right place at the right time. You're going to lead me in ways that draw me close to you. And so you have this great capacity. You and I are able to have this capacity for peace and understanding that comes through the Holy Spirit. God gave Jonah this word to speak to the people of his day. God has given you a voice to speak just like he did in the book of Acts. This is what it says. The people said, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. That's just because they had the Holy Spirit within them and overflowing out of them. They said, we hear them speaking the wonders of God in our own tongues. We can use our prophetic voice in the world and hear this. Hear this, please. We can use our prophetic voice in the world to just rail against it, or we can use our prophetic voice in the world to declare the wonders of God and bring people into relationship with God. There's a big difference between what sounds like good news coming from us because we have the Holy Spirit and we have prophetic voice to speak, and sounding a lot like everybody else around us in the culture just because we're railing against everything that's wrong with it. You and I have great capacity to have a different voice than the one that's in the culture around us. So let me invite you, and we'll finish with this. Consider these things when you think about what is it that I'm saying and how does it sound to the people around me. The first thing is, prophetic voice flows from being with God, and it sounds like God. It comes from being with God and sounds like God. The common saying is that opinions, you know, are common. Everybody's got an opinion. And there's a lot of ways that people use that saying. They're like something. Everybody's got one. Fill in the blank with however you heard it. But not everyone has the voice of God. Everybody's got an opinion. Not everyone has the voice of God. The challenge is that you can't give out what you haven't received. You can't speak what you haven't heard. So the only way that you can speak out with a prophetic voice to the culture around you is, one, you're in Scripture, and so you're speaking of the things of God because you know what God's Word says. And two, you've spent time with Jesus. You spent enough time with Jesus in solitude and quietness and stillness and in prayer so that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking over the noise of everything else around you. Prophetic voice flows from being with God, and it sounds like God. So if you're not getting your messages from Scripture and the Spirit, then it's really just you. It's really just me. If the things that I'm speaking out have a lot more of me in it than Scripture and Spirit, then it probably lacks the prophetic strength of being something that can change lives and move people closer to Jesus Christ. Now, it's fine. Opinions, totally good. I've got a lot of them. Ask my family. I've got a lot of opinions. But listen, when I want to speak into their life, something that's life-changing and really meaningful, I've got to go to a different source than just what's in me. I need to come to a deeper point of surrendering my opinion and putting it under the Holy Spirit and putting it under Scripture and allowing God to speak through that. Second thing, prophetic voice gives specific direction to specific people. God didn't direct Jonah or the Holy Spirit-filled church to just rail against all the ills of the culture around it. So I mentioned this briefly before. God gave us a message of good news. He gave us the ability to speak to specific people or groups of people and direct them to experience the wonders of God, to see and experience the wonders of God. Jonah gave a message. He was given a message to preach to Nineveh that their behavior, their actions, their violence, that they were going to be judged for it. Listen, Jonah just didn't pick some town and just start railing against it. God sent him to a specific people. Why is that? Why is it that God sent him to Nineveh? Because they were ready. Because God knows the situation that every person around us in our life, their readiness to receive and to hear from him. So God sent Jonah because the Ninevites were ready. We'll get there at the end of the story, but those of you that know, they were ready to hear from Jonah, much to Jonah's frustration. See, God knows the people that he wants to speak to. And so when you have prophetic voice, how do you know it's different? It's because you're speaking to an audience. You're speaking to people. You're not just railing against the way things are. You're not just putting out there that this is bad and I don't like that and this is a problem. That goes back to just how we feel and our opinions about things. When we have prophetic voice, it gives specific direction to specific people. It may be a group or it may be an individual. But that's how you know that it's filled with the Holy Spirit and it's given direction because it has the opportunity, it has the chance to change a life, to redirect people towards a relationship with God. When it's not prophetic, it's kind of just misdirected, misguided, and all it does, it has the potential to hurt people because it's just a statement that can get misdirected and wound somebody because it's critical, it's overly, it comes out of bitterness. And so prophetic voice is not like that at all. It's direct and it's specific to a person or a group. And it brings with it the opportunity for them to draw near to God. God gave us a message of good news. And the warning also that comes with it if we reject or others reject that good news. So I know some of you are looking at me and you're just saying, so, you know, Andy, you're just talking about flowers and rainbows and unicorns, right? All you want me to do is just talk about how good things are and how good God is and how good the, you know, he's going to just make everything good and you're good and that's good. And that's not the message I'm telling. I'm telling you what has been given to us, deposited to us, is a message of hope and redemption in Jesus Christ, that all of us can draw near to the Father because of what Christ has done. And in drawing close to Christ and accepting his gift, we can be filled with his Holy Spirit and not be alone in this journey on this globe, that we can be full of his Holy Spirit. And that being full of his Holy Spirit and being forgiven and redeemed and having scriptures that speak life into us and having an intimate relationship with the Father that just renews us day after day, so that when we come against the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, the pain that we go through in life, that we're not left without hope. We go, you know, that's hard. I'm struggling. I'm grieving. I'm going through all of that, but not alone. I'm going through it with the presence of God. I'm going through it with the peace of the Holy Spirit within me. I have a good news message. It's not a blind message that says stuff doesn't happen. It's a good news message. Listen, you have that type of prophetic voice. Whether you view yourself as a prophet or not, you have that type of prophetic voice to speak into the culture around you. And can I finish just by telling you that message is powerful? My opinions about things and observations about the culture around me, that's something. It matters. I mean, it matters to give your voice, lend your voice to something. It matters in certain circles. I'm not saying don't speak up. You should speak up about things that matter to you. I'm saying that the kingdom message, the good news message, the message that God has imparted to us of hope in Christ and fullness in the Spirit and the restoration of relationship that we have in Christ, that's a great message. And that's one that speaks everywhere. That's one that speaks to every group you're a part of. And if you want to speak prophetically, then get on board with that message. Get on board with what the Scriptures are saying. Get on board with the Spirit and time with Him. Get on board with what He's saying there. All right. Well, I want us to close with a time of response. Our worship team's going to come up in just a moment. But if you would just take a moment, I want us just to have a just kind of a moment of quiet. It's always good just to self-reflect for a moment and just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, search me. You know me. And so, Holy Spirit, we surrender ourselves to you. And in this instance, in thinking about the Scriptures, our question, Lord, is as we ask you to search us, is what's my voice been, Lord? What have people heard from my life? What is it that I'm speaking a lot of? Is it the prophetic good news of Jesus Christ and the hope and the correction and instruction from the Holy Spirit? Or of the scales of my voice, would they weigh heavily in the favor of people are hearing a lot of opinion, a lot of complaints about the culture, a lot of things that just sound a lot like the culture around me. Our prayer, God, is that people are hearing a prophetic voice that draws them closer to you. Our prayer is that they're hearing a prophetic voice that unveils or uncovers things that have been hidden from their eyes in their life in the past. That by speaking the things, the way the enemy has blinded people and caused them not to see you, that we would cause a light to shine in their life so they'd be able to see the way you've been working, the way that you're pursuing them, that they too might be able to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, oh, God, give us, enable us to have that type of prophetic voice that unveils and uncovers and illuminates your work and what you're doing in this world, your work and what you're doing in our lives, so that we could testify, just like in the book of Acts, declare the glory of God. And some will be amazed and some will think we're drunk, but it doesn't change our focus that we want to be a prophetic people declaring your glory. Amen. Please join me in standing. And I want to close out just by singing a couple worship songs. We have communion up at the front on both sides. And if you want to identify and celebrate the Lord's sacrifice, which is our grace, which is our hope, we have communion for you up front. Just take the bread and dip it in the juice and you can receive it. We have our prayer team is in the back. We have a prayer room right in the back, and they would love to pray with you. So as I was preparing for this morning's message, some of you, the encouragement is you've had a prophetic voice, and by that I mean very specific. Like you tend to think of it as like an intuition. Like I just see things, and they just happen, more often than not, they just happen that way. And so maybe you wouldn't call it prophetic. You just call it, I'm just very intuitive. I want to just affirm that the Holy Spirit is saying, no, there's prophetic gifting upon you, and you've kind of just put the kibosh on it. You've just kind of tampered it down because you thought, well, I don't want to tell people when something like that's happening because then they're going to think I'm weird. So I just wait, and then I tell them after the fact, oh, I thought that was going to happen. I just had this sense that this is what God was doing or what he was saying. And so if that's you, would you just take a moment and step out when we're worshiping and go back? The prayer team is going to pray over you just that prophetic gifting would be released in your life and that you wouldn't just kind of hold it back, but you would just feel released just to be able to speak as God puts things on your heart and on your mind, that you would be able just to declare them and allow that gifting to begin to develop in your life. So if that's you, if you have that sense and the Holy Spirit and you know it's you because the Holy Spirit's just saying, yep, that's happening. That's happened in the past. And so we just want to affirm and just put hands upon you and pray over you and just say, yes, we want to agree with God's work for that. Others of you, your response is, you know, Andy, as you were talking, so much of what's coming out of my mouth is really not prophetic. It seems like I'm just adding to the noise of the room at the time. And I really want to make an impact. I really want to be able to speak something else. Would you, as we're worshiping, just surrender yourself to the Lord and just putting yourself before him and just saying, Lord, you have all of me, including my voice. And maybe even while we're worshiping, you would just set your hand up towards your mouth and just say, even my mouth, Lord, is devoted to you. Temper these lips. Temper my voice. Guide it and direct it to say the things that you're saying, to look for and spend time with you so that I can speak the things that you're speaking.